Well, today is without doubt the largest, the longest, the most joyful, colourful, and probably costly celebration in the whole world. Because literally billions of people have set aside their normal routines to take a midweek holiday, decorate their homes, send Christmas cards, buy special gifts to give, attend church services and parties, sing Christmas carols, and travel long distances to be with family. And in an hour or two, depending on their time zone, people will be sitting down for one of the largest, most colourful, and probably tasty meals of the year too. And many of us will need a sleep afterwards. Isn't it incredible that the simple birth of Jesus in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago has caused such ripples? The anniversary of his birthday leads to record retail sales, traffic jams in New York, Tokyo, Sydney. So special is Jesus' birthday that your own birthday is dated from his. You figured that one out. Every single time we check the calendar or refer to a date or write one in our diary, we're using Jesus' birthday as our reference point. Whether people acknowledge Jesus as their Lord and Savior personally, they're acknowledging his Lordship every time they use a date, because it all goes back to his birth. But what does celebrating Jesus' birthday signify to us today? The most important thing that his birthday signifies is that God loves you. On the first Christmas morning, countless angels from heaven announced the birth of Jesus. We've sung about it. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. You see, Jesus didn't come to scare you. He came to save you. That's why the angel said, do not be afraid. As I mentioned last night, that phrase, do not be afraid, is mentioned 365 times in the Bible. Why would God have to say something 365 times? Well, at least one a day, because our natural inclination would be to be afraid, to run, to hide. Don't be afraid. Get the message. I love you. I love you. Observe that it's personal. I bring you good news. This was a personal message from heaven to earth. Not just good news, not just M&S news, but good news of great joy. Great joy. It's positive. The Christian message is good news, not bad news. It's good news. And it's profligate for all the people. All the people, not just some people. Not just good people, or religious people, or young people, or intelligent people, but all people. So it doesn't matter who you are, or what you've done, where you've been, or where you're headed. The good news is that God loves you. It's personal, it's positive, and it's profligate. The angel brought the best news in the whole wide world for the whole wide world. It's the greatest news ever told. The most famous statement in the Bible explains why Jesus came to earth. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's a summary of everything that Christmas means. God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to be a human being, so that we can know what God is like, so that we could become what God is like. The Bible tells us that God's very nature is love. It doesn't say God has love. It says God is love. It's his very nature. It's the reason everything in our universe exists. Psalm 145 says, the Lord is good to all. His compassion is on all he has made. Think about that. If God didn't want to love something, he wouldn't have created it. Everything we see, Everything we can't see was created by God for His enjoyment as an expression of His love. He loves us even when we mess up His world. Every star, every planet, every plant, every animal, every cell, and most of all, every human being was created out of God's love with a purpose. We were created as an object of His love. He made us in order to love us. He made us in order that we might love Him back. In fact, the Apostle James says, He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be the kind of first fruits of all He created. And because God's love for you is unconditional, He loves you on your bad days, your bad hair days, as much as on the good days. He loves us even when we don't feel His love as much as when we do. Everything in our lives is changing, but God's love is constant, continuous. There's nothing we can do to make Him love us less. It's not based on our character. It's not based on our conduct. It's based on Jesus and what He has done on the cross in our place. The next time you look at the cross and you imagine Jesus' arms open wide, He's saying, I love you this much. I love you this much. I'd rather die than live without you. John Calvin put it like this: The Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sinful sons of men might become the sons of God. God loves you. Never doubt it. But there's another dimension to the Christmas story, and that is that God is with you. Sometimes we give babies names to honor their relatives or royalty or film stars or footballers. But God gave Jesus the name that is above every name. The prophet Isaiah quotes one of those names. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In Jesus Christ, God has made Himself fully and finally known. He is now with us. He is with us today by His Spirit. Not just for Christmas Day, but for every day. The psalmist says, where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And the obvious answer is nowhere. Nowhere, because He has invaded space and time. He is always everywhere at the same time. No wonder the angel said, don't be afraid. C.S. Lewis put it like this: we may ignore, but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with Him, says C.S. Lewis. That's a fact, whether we feel it or not. Again, as I said last night, we were looking at Paddington Bear for grown-ups. If you haven't seen the film, do. It's a lovely movie. Do go and see it. But I said last night, you may have been abandoned in life by a spouse, by your parents, by your children, by your nation, by people you thought were your friends. We've all experienced something of pain and heartache, of rejection. May have been the sting of racial prejudice or ethnic prejudice, gender bigotry, religious intolerance. But God will not abandon you. One of the greatest promises of the Bible is this from Hebrews 13. Never will I leave you, says God. Never will I forsake you. So whatever difficulty you may be facing right now, God knows about it, He cares about it, and He is with you. You're not alone. God loves you, and God is with you. And there's a third dimension to His love, and that is that God is for you. He is not just with you, but He is for you. Don't be afraid, said the angel. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The Bible says God is for you. What does that mean? Well, it means he's on your side. He wants you to win. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to have a fulfilling, meaningful, purposeful life. You see, that's why Jesus came. God demonstrates his own love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not just with us, an example, but for us, a Savior. You see, too many people are afraid of God. They feel that God is just waiting to catch them out, that he'll pounce on them and punish them. Guilt is very real. Guilt separates us from God. Guilt is a consequence of our wrongdoing. And that needs dealing with. That's why Jesus came. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. It cost him his life. That was the good news of great joy. A Savior has been born to you. And if you are still doubting, then listen to these words of the Apostle Paul. He asks a series of rhetorical questions, and you have to figure out why is he asking the questions. It's the same reason God has to repeat that command 365 times. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, absolutely nothing is able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Except one thing. One thing. Our unwillingness to accept that love. It's the only thing that will get in the way. And that's why the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, including you and me today. Because God loves you, because God is with you, and because God is for you." And that's why we're celebrating today. Let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, to be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me so much. Thank you for being with me all my life, for creating me, for sustaining me, even when I didn't know it. I now realize I need a Savior to set me free from sin, from myself, from all the habits, the hurts, and the hang-ups that mess up my life. Please forgive me for my sin. I want to live the way you created me to live. Be the Lord of my life. Save me by your grace. Save me from my sins. Save me for your purpose. I want to learn to love you, to trust you, and become what you made me to be. Right now, by faith, I accept the Christmas gift of your Son. Fill me with your Holy Spirit to give me your peace and assurance so that I can be a peacemaker and help others experience your love and peace today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to know more about knowing Jesus and following him, then at the back of the church on the table is a small pile of the biography of Jesus, and you're welcome to take a copy as a Christmas gift.